Nobody there yet. Nothing. Nobody else coming today? No, probably won't. It's too much too early.
Good morning, Epiphan. You're going incognito.
That's better.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
One minute. Wait.
Morning. Good year. Good winter. Gesunde winter. Morning. Should just have the.
Amen.
And a happy Yisru Chag of the Seder. Welcome back, Menashe. Back to the land of the living. Yofi. Okay, so. All right. So what I think I've decided to do, unless there's major objections, I'm gonna start again the Sefer Imun and Betochen, Rav Tauber Sefer. I don't think that we'll be bored with having done it and understanding it, and there'll be nothing new to learn. I think there's always more to take out of it. That's been my experience. But what I am going to change is that on Fridays, instead of doing this, I'd like to, with your permission, do Rav Pinkus' Sefer Shabbos Malchosa. The Moedika Sefer, and it opens up many, many avenues of Shabbos that, unfortunately, because we keep Shabbos every week, it becomes Hergel, and we've lost a lot of the taste of Shabbos. That Sefer, it's a deep Sefer, but we go through it slowly. We pick through our way slowly. It has, my experience is a lot of people have got a lot out of it.
Sounds a great idea.
So I think that's what we'll do instead of, because not everybody can come on Friday, not everybody comes during the week, only come on Friday, so maybe we'll do something different on Friday. And we'll see if that Sefer really takes, which it may, then we might do it twice a week. I don't know, let's play with it. Nobody knows what the world's going to look like next week. We don't even know what it's going to look like tomorrow. So let's, that's what I'd like to do. If there's any objections, there's any complaints, yeah. Any other suggestions, I'm more than happy to go through that.
I have a wholehearted support for the idea. I have an interesting 10-second story for you. I took my Moon of the Betalkin Sefer up on a vacation maybe 2 weeks or so ago, a month or so ago, and I had taken extensive notes the first time we went through. When I got back, all my notes were gone. My written notes were somehow not there.
Oy.
I can't explain why. It was my safer. I could see where I had written in the past, but they're all gone. So I think Hashem wants at least me to go through the safer again.
Okay. Yeah, certainly. Wow, that's not pleasant. Okay. So if I'm starting on page Lamed Gimel. You can go through the forward yourself. There's a lot of good stuff in there, but I'm not going to labor it again. I'm going to start from the introduction on page Lamed Gimel. If that's okay with everybody. Okay. Matarosa shall say for ze einu lechadesh chidushim sheini yoidim olamik cheke b'shelos v'chichores inyois. The goal of the sefer is not to make any chidushim, to bring down things that are not known, and to go into depths with chakiras and lomdas in sugyas of iyun. Matarasa achas v'yichida. The goal of the sefer is one singular goal, and that is to let's see what that is, and that is to lahatziv lifnei bnei doreinu, to place in front of our generation mabat chiyuvi, a positive perspective, v'derech hashiva nechoina al oichus chayenu, a positive, correct way of looking at the flow of our lives, of to understand what our lives are about. Al pi hashkafas haTorah. What does the Torah say about, like, what's the meaning of life? Basically, that's what he's saying. I'm just throwing that in here. So if by the time you finish the Sefer, you have not learned anything new, because he's not being mechadesh any chidushim, as he said, but you have a Torah perspective, proper Torah perspective on reality, so then the Sefer, then you don't have to go through it again. So anybody now that has a totally Ashkofik dika Torah, Ashkofik dika perspective on reality, you're welcome to either suggest something else or move on to another Shia. Ha-Sefer nichtav la'achen nisayon litztabe ba'orech shanim rabot ba'avoydim ha-tzibu. Now remember, this is him talking, must be over 20 years ago. So we're going to have to, the principles stay the same, but the application, as he himself says in the foreword, Makiris Makoima, a person has to understand the unique situation that he's living in. So Klali, this generation has a unique Tachlis, Tafkid, as the door Ikfas in the Mashiach, but we'll see currently we're living through cataclysmic times. I mean, these are unbelievable times when you look. I mean, it was driven home yesterday, Simchas Torah. I mean, there were places that for the first time in history didn't have a Hakof Hasheni. Ponovich, for example, always has a big Simchas Achab. Thousands of people come. Just 1 second. Somebody wants to get in and they need a password. I apologize. Rabbi Yaakov Hillel spoke that for the first time ever, he didn't make a Simchas Beis Hashem in his house. He didn't, Avos Sholom's, his yeshivas, Simchas Beis Hashem ever, Simchas Torah basically starts on Simchas Torah and finishes like today before Nates. It's wild. I'm saying, and they never did it. I mean, there's things, and that's just the small, that's just the taste. I'm saying that my own self, the Simchas Torah from what it's been the last 25 years to what it was now. I mean, and that's just a little thing. I mean, the Chevra Kedisha is saying they can't possibly manage Rachamon and Litzlan with the amount of funerals they have to deal with. We're living through cataclysmic times, and whatever we need to Makiris Makoime, as he taught us, we need to recognize the Metziyut, the way it is, and to draw from there what our avoider is. Not to ask, why is Hashem doing this? That's silly. We don't understand why Hashem's doing anything. But we see what he's doing. And based on what he's doing, we have to learn the lesson. So that's going to be very much, as we go through the Sefer again, applying the principles have to be applied more practically now that we're a bit more familiar with the principles to the unique situation that we're living in. Obviously, there's other things going on besides this pandemic, whatever you want to call it, this Magaifa, whatever you want to call it, the other things going on. But it is a major aspect of our lives. I mean, I was in Bidud for 4 out of the 7 weeks of Elul and Tishrei. Today we're 7 weeks since Rosh Chodesh Elul. 4 of those weeks I was in Bidud. Okay, well, that's unusual. I'm saying even when I'm in Golis, usually they send me to Chutz Laaretz to go to Golis. You know, they say that the Rosh Yeshiva is always good at Golis because could be they killed somebody b'shoigeg. You know, you tend to destroy Talmidim when you're a Rosh Yeshiva. So you have to go into Golis. So that's why the Rosh Yeshiva has to go fundraising. So today there's no one going overseas. I can't go overseas fundraising. So what did Hashem do? So you gave me Bidud. It's another kind of Golis. It's a new kind of Golis, and you have to learn from that. The Bidud is not a poshut story, okay? And therefore we have to apply when he's talking about, yeah, the correct Torah Shkofa, that means we have to look at the world through Torah eyes. And it's very hard today because there's so much being said about this and there's so many people who have not had a clue what they're talking about or what they're talking about. Basing everything they're based on is not Torah Shkofa. That's not based on what the Torah says. Bichlal not what the Torah says. Both as a Ramechmil, by the Machmirim, it's hard to find somebody today who's mamish giving proper Torah Shkofa. Very difficult. You know, it's your head's full with the news and with this, and this one said, and he said, and she said, and this one rabbi did this, and he opened Yishul, and he closed Yishul, and he did. You get very confused. You get mamash, terribly confused. And therefore, person needs, more critically than ever, person needs a total perspective on reality. So that's very important, the Sefer, to deal with that, ma'od, ma'od relevant. And we'll see now as well, the Chos Simcha V'Tuv Leivov. Maybe let's read the paragraph and then we'll discuss it a bit. The Sefer was written after many, many years of working with the klal. Many, many shirim and seminars that were given all over the world. To the whole range of the Jewish world, Shomer Torah mitzvahs, Baal Tshuvahs, very Haredi, Beis Yaakovs in Bnei Brak, and the whole range, Mamash, Minakotze Lakotze, America, Hong Kong, South Africa, London, everywhere. He was all over the world. He spoke everywhere. And to all different kinds of people at seminars and whatever. So he met a lot of people. And he said, Zeh Moire Boifin Baru, his nisoyin shows him without any doubts. If you want to look for one peg, that's quite an extreme thing to do. It's quite a brave thing to do, to take a look at the world and to find one peg, one pin, to pin everything, all the problems that we're going through, everybody. Klali Prati, to find one thing to pin it on, you would struggle to do that, but he puts it down quite clearly. That's big news. In the hearts of Roiv of Klal Yisrael, he's telling you, it could be its worst today, probably it is worst today, lacking Simchas Chaim, basic Simchas Chaim. We'll discuss what that means more at length. You're not talking about Simcha that comes from outside. You're talking about Simcha that a person has inside of himself, a basic foundation of Simcha inside of himself. Anashim yakarim mithalchim kashe otzov tmini bedagzu acheres shoychin belibam pnima. People are walking around with some sort of atzbus, sadness, constant. Somewhere in the inner recesses of their heart, people are walking around chosa simcha betuv levov. Now you'll say, okay, that's the whole problem. I mean, there's much bigger problems. We'll see that the Torah is going to tell us, because that's what we want to know. What does the Torah say about this? The Torah is going to tell us that that's the ik of all the problems. The sin is chinam that caused the Beis Hamikdash to be destroyed. The gilurash v'chadom v'chaz kachomim that caused the Beis Hamikdash, the first one, to be destroyed. Everything, you'll see it. You can track it all the way back to here. And that's what the Torah says. The Torah says that the chulban, all the chulban that we're in, comes about because chaysa simcha v'tuv levov, and we will have to speak and see what that's about. It's funny, we just come out of a chag, 8 days where the mitzvah is simcha, you know, and it's the most difficult thing to do. Most people are depressed because they have to be with simcha, they can't be with simcha, so they get even more sad because, yeah, it's a chag where simcha is in your face. Hashem gave us the ma'adim for simcha. That's what he gave them to us for. He gave them to us for simcha, and it's very hard. Very, very hard, especially when all the external things that we use every year to make ourselves besimcha, you don't have them this year. And then you suddenly realize, whoa, you know, I thought I was besimcha last year, but really I wasn't. It was just because there was a good band and there was good music and there was nice dancing. And of course you have to use that. And I'm not saying that's important. But suddenly when you don't have that, so you're still besimcha. So then what's the simcha? Is the simcha because of lifnei Hashem? Is the simcha of the mitzvah? What exactly was the simcha? And you start, it's challenging. It's a hard work, this. Not simple. So that's what he's saying here. Chaysa ha-simcha mitbatei b'kach she'asipuk ha'ini oirech arai b'seid ha'yom shelanu. The lack of simcha, he's not talking to everybody here. You'll find people that don't have this problem. There may be many of you out there that don't have this problem, don't know what I'm talking about. But you will find people that they don't have this problem. But ruba de ruba, that's where the issues lie. You see this expressed, he says, this lack of simcha is that sipuk, genuine satisfaction, genuine. It's hard to translate the word sipuk. It doesn't mean enjoyment. It doesn't mean satisfaction. It means worthwhileness. I don't know how you translate it. Doing something that you get real sipuk on. How do you translate sipuk? I don't know. Satisfaction is a very poor translation, but it's the best I can think of right now. Is a very temporary thing in our day-to-day existence. Kasher lanu moed limtzoi saragoyim haboididim b'cheinu shehem haynu soverotzen. It's hard to find in a 24-hour day the moments where we really feel just completely full, fulfilled, satisfied. B'simcha. Shehem choshna anu shleimim ima yesogim haruchnim aleim iganu. Where we feel completely sholem. Where we can sit back and celebrate our spiritual achievements. Well, not about physical now. We'll deal with that. Most of you can deal with that on your own. You don't need the sefer for that. But that's also part of it. The samach bechelkoi beruchnis. That's what we're talking. That's what he's introducing here. To just sit back and be. That doesn't mean be complacent. That doesn't mean, well, I've arrived and have to do more. No, but to sit back and celebrate and enjoy the spiritual achievements that I've achieved. Not taking pride. Not in a gavu way. In a pleasure way. Don't you? Take pleasure in what I've achieved, sit back and feel totally fulfilled in what I'm doing spiritually. Very few moments like that in the day. Deep in the recesses of our hearts, there is a desire to look for things that we don't have, and to desire things that weren't given to us, running around wanting what we don't have. Hatetzo shel talich ze, ki kasher einenu magiyim limataros elu. The consequence of that is when we don't get to the goals that we've set for ourselves based on our lacks. And anasim shpurim atzuv meduktochim, we become broken and sad, and chas v'chilil, that even leads to depression. Because when you focus on what you've got and what you've achieved, you're happy. When you focus on what you don't have, you're always unhappy. Always. It's a guaranteed formula. The samach b'chelkei in ruchnias is very far from us. In fact, till you came here, you didn't even know there was such a thing. Especially if you went through the frum system. I didn't go through the frum education system. I wasn't frum. My parents weren't frum. I'm about tshuva late in life. So Boch Hashem, I didn't have that destroyed in me. You know, the samach b'chelkei in ruchnias by me was something that was obvious. It got when I started becoming too frum, that's when I lost it. Because then you always have to do more, and it's not enough, and you're not achieving, and why aren't you doing more? And you can always do more, and then especially going to Yom Kippur, you become completely depressed when you realize how bad you are. You know, that's you become very frum, and then you lose it all, then you lose the whole picture. But unfortunately, a lot of our kids didn't have the privilege of being Balei Teshuva. They had to go through the system, and then they destroyed by the time they get to, I don't know what age. Baruch, what age usually is it, the average age when the system wipes out the good kids?
9 or 10.
Oh, I was going to say 11. Okay, but so not going to fetch over a year or 2 year or there. Ellie, you have another opinion. I don't know, maybe even earlier. I don't know, probably the seeds already sown. I don't know, whatever. So, Samach Bechelke Beruchnias, that's nothing they teach in the Chedorim, I promise you now. I don't know if anybody has experience with a Rebbe who taught Samach Bechelke Beruchnias, so that guy deserves a big chelik in Olam Haba. Usually you're not doing enough and you're bad and you could do more, and there's no sense. So that's the world you live in. We Moshe Chachas Sviva, we influenced by the society we live in. So that's a big problem. That can lead Chalila, even he says, to depression. Sheva. The Samach Bechelke Beruchnias is very far from us. You can already, listen, we've been through the Sefer before, so let's work a little bit here, not just read a book. Ask yourselves now, inside yourself, stop. We're talking about Samach Bechelke Beruchnias. What's your Yetzirah telling you? What's your first reaction? What's the first thing that comes into your mind? Think about it for 30 seconds. Look at what's going on. I'll tell you afterwards what my Yetzirah is telling me. I've heard this 20 times already. So you're going to hear things like, but then you've been complacent, but then you'll never get anywhere. You don't have to have ambition. Yeah, I'm right. Anybody that resonates with anybody out there? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, mine said, what about money?
What about money? Oh, good. Tie with some moment. We'll see what that's about also. We'll go through that also. But we're not talking about money because we're talking about ruchnias now, Rabbi Frank. That's Samach Bechelke. That's gashmias. Money is
no, gashmias. I'm saying that's what my Yisra told me.
Well, he told you what? When you told me about being Samach Bechelke Beruchnias, he said, what about money? Makesha.
Yeah. Yep.
So tell your Yetzahara, that's not your Yetzahara. I don't know what that is. The Yetzahara is clever. When you're talking about Samach Bechelke Beruchnias, the Yetzahara doesn't start talking about Gashmias. That's not what he does. I don't know who's telling you that, but it's not your Yetzahara. The Yetzahara talks Lin Yan. If you're talking about being Samach Bechelke Beruchnias, the Yetzahara will attack you there. He won't attack you in something else. If you're worried about money, that's because you've got a problem with Samach Bechelke Beruchnias, the Gashmias. And it could be because you have financial problems. Good. Very well could be. I don't know. But we're not talking about that subject now. Now we're talking about Samach Bechelke Beruchnias. That means you just finished davening Shmoneh Esrei and you feel like, oh, that's called davening. Wow, that was terrible. Wow,
because that's up to us. Samach Bechelke Gashmias is not up to us.
Excellent. Excellent. Beautiful. I was hoping someone would say that. Very good. That's already somebody who's got a bit of betochen. That's somebody who already understands that the Gashmias has nothing to do with me. He's been through Chayv HaSalavah HaShara betochen, and he understands Gashmias has nothing to do with me. Panasa comes from Hashem. You have to make your ishtadlis. Well, the achievement at the end has nothing to do with you. So if you have money, you don't have money, you don't feel like a bum, you don't feel like you're a failure because you did your ishtadlis properly and Hashem gave you whatever he gave you and you're happy with that. Excellent. Beautiful. But in Ruchnius, I have Bechira. It's my choice. I'm responsible. Excellent. So that's what we have to deal with. That Yetzahara we have to deal with. That's exactly what the Nakud of the Seif is coming to deal with. Beautiful. Obviously, we'll have to touch on the Samach Bechelko and the Gashmias as well, because that leads into, if you're not Samach Bechelko and Gashmias, and you are Samach Bechelko and Ruchnias, then you're really trapped. That's what the Chovas Halavav calls a tipesh. That's a fool. There's another problem there. Excellent. Somebody's not Samach Bechelko Begashmias. Why? Because he doesn't really have the Imun and the Betochen that his Panasa comes from Hashem. So he's not Samach Bechelko there. But in his Ruchnias, he's not Samach Bechelko. Why aren't you learning? Nah, Hashem Yazor. You know, so he's got absolutely no Betochen in Gashmias, but he's full of Betochen in Ruchnias. So that's also, the Chovas Halavav calls that a tipesh. We're talking to Baruch's friend. Baruch's friend is somebody who really has Betochen in Gashmias. He's Samach Bechelko in Gashmias. Obviously, not talking about the highest levels that you can achieve. We're talking whatever he's capable and his level, whatever he has some sense, some idea, whatever he's able at least intellectually to understand that his panasa comes from Hashem. Whatever level of Betochen he's on, I'm not going to that's complicated. But in his Ruchnias, he feels totally responsible and he feels like a failure. He mamash feels like a failure. That's exactly who the Seif is talking to. Excellent. The guy who did not Samach Bechelko Begashmias and he Samach Bechelko Beruchnias, he had this carefully, we're not talking to him. The Seif is not talking to him because he doesn't know that Hashem runs the world and he's just using the Betochen in his Gashmias to obviate his responsibilities. Why don't you dive into that? Nah, Hashem will take care of that. But why? Hashem didn't say he'll take care of that. Hashem said, you have to take care of that. Well, then I'm a failure. Now I'm depressed. Oh, so that's what we have to deal with. Excellent. That's exactly the Nakuda. Brilliant. Fine. Okay, so there's work to do, Nachon. Very good.
Okay. Question. Why are they mutually exclusive? Somebody could know that all of his Gashmias, all of his pronounce comes only from Hashem. But he could still daven, he could still want more. He could still not be satisfied with 100 and want 200. He knows it comes from Hashem, but his job's to ask. You know, his job's to do his ishtadlis, or don't do any ishtadlis. His job's to do his ishtadlis. I know you're going to say don't bring ishtadlis in this, but it's going to be to do his ishtadlis and to ask for more. He knows whatever he gets comes from Hashem.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with being a full Baal Betochen and recognizing that you need more resources in order to be Ovid Hashem better? And to ask Hashem for more because you know why you need it and why you want to use it and what you want to use it for. What's the problem with that? No one said that you just have to. I can be Samach Bechelko. I'm happy with what I have, but I recognize that I could be doing better if I had more. So I ask Hashem for more. If he says no, well, then you couldn't do better. But if he says yes, he'll give it to you. I don't see what the problem with that is. What's the problem with that? If I had $1 million, wow, you know, I don't know what I would do with it now. But anyway, I'm just saying there was a time where I knew what I would do with $1 million. Today, I don't know what I'd do with it. I'd probably just go to sleep and not wake up for shachris. I don't know, whatever. I'm just saying, depends what you want it for. Never, ever think for 1 minute that you shouldn't want more in Gashmias. You have to know why you want it.
Yeah, but that feels like it's contradictory.
So that's what I'm saying. Let's look at it. Samach Bechelko means that I celebrate and I'm happy with everything Hashem gave me. Because everything Hashem gave me is exactly what I need and that's good for me and that's what I want. But I have an obligation to look at my world and understand myself, who I am, and to recognize that there's resources in the world that if I had them, I might be able to achieve more. The world's full of resources. For example, I'll give you a very simple example. It's a very crude example, but it's very real. I know that I could learn better if I had an air conditioner. Yeah? Or let's say I have an air conditioner, but it costs a lot to run an air conditioner, yeah? So I don't use it when I'm learning because I can manage without it, but you could learn much better with an air conditioner. Or Chaim Kanievsky said, if he knew that he would learn so much better than air conditioner, would have got one years ago. He fought not to have one for quite a while. And then when he got one eventually, they put it in while he wasn't looking. He said, wow, had he realized how much better he would have learned it anyway, he would have got it a long time ago. So you know that. Yeah, you heard that story and you understand that you could learn better with air conditioner on. But you don't have the money for the chashmal. So what's wrong with davening to Hashem to give you more money for the chashmal? Because you know that you could function better in the world. Now, it might be an air conditioner. It might be one of those, super duper triple deck hamburgers that they sell in some places or whatever in America, whatever. And you know that if you would have, you know, an extra burger or whatever, it would give you a certain yeshuva das, and you'd be able to, you know, you'd be able to be more besimcha, and you'd be able to come home and be a better husband. What's wrong with that? I told you that story, but I heard it B'Shem Revolbi. Somebody has told me it was Rav Schoenberg. I don't know who it was. One of the Gedolim was by a Chasana. And he was sitting there eating an ice cream. So Talmid of his very close Talmid understood that this Rav didn't just eat ice creams. You know, if he was eating an ice cream, he wanted to know what's the avoider, you know? What's the avoider? So he went up to him and he said to him, Rebbe, whatever, well, what's with ice cream? So he said to me, good question. Bring me another one and bring one for yourself. And while I'm having the second one, I'll tell you what it's about. Okay. So the Talmud was shocked. Mamash, he's going to have a second ice cream? Wow, that's mamash luck. Whoa, that's luck. So while he was digging into the second ice cream, the Rav said to him, you know, I don't get to be exposed to the public too often. You know, I'm wherever he was in the yeshiva or whatever. And I'm able to maintain a certain level of simcha without too much external input. When I come to a chasana, so then I'm exposed and people come and they tell me all their problems and they load me with all the issues, whatever. And then my simcha levels are at risk, especially chasana. So the ice cream helps me just to keep the balance. Sure. So that rabbi is not, he's not Haredi. That Rav who said that, he's not Haredi. Is there something wrong with that rabbi? No. No. That's an adult. That's everyone understands that the world there is to be used correctly. And if a bit of ice cream gives you yeshuva das, menuchas hanefesh, nachas ruach, whatever the ice cream does for you, he's not just eating it because he wants, you know, to raise his sugar levels, or he's got a taiva for sweet. But if he enjoys an ice cream, so zeo zelo, so mabayabaze. So what's wrong for davening now? Please Hashem, can have an ice cream. That's not a chosiv samach b'chelke. You'll become terribly miserable and depressed if you sit at home in your damp basement, eating dry bread and onions, samach b'chelkoi. For you, that wouldn't work. I know people that could do that. They'd be the happiest people in the world. I've met some of the poorest people in the world that I would get you their toenails of simcha sachaim. You know, Rav Shach never had a blanket. Rav Shach, until late in life, used to sleep with his coat. He never had a blanket. The Rebbetzin had the blanket. They had one blanket. She slept with a blanket. He used his coat in winter. Never a blanket. Well, that's not the Chofetz Chaim. We're talking about Rav Shach. It was in his house. I know there wasn't that much in there, but I'm saying, and he was Chos of Simcha v'Tuv Leivov, the happiest person in the world. But you couldn't do that, Baruch. If you would do that, you'd be miserable. So a person needs to know, and it takes an adult to do this. A person needs to know what he needs in the world, in order to utilize the world properly, in order to be able to function properly. If that means one of the big Balei Musa of this generation told me, he asked me once I happened to see him on Rosh Chodesh Elul, the second day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. He said to me, so what are you doing for Achana? It's Elul, what are you doing for, you know, what did you do on Rosh Chodesh Elul to start getting ready for Rosh Hashanah? So, you know, I told him this and I told him that. I don't want to go into all of it and none of his business, but I told him a little bit. So he looked at me with that, like, you know, oh, you tzaddik, you know, wow. He said, you know what I did? I said, Mama's dying to know what this. Mama, somebody knows all Yisrael inside out, you know, Talmid of Yisrael Salante, you know, walking around today alive. So he looked at me with a big smile on his face. He said, I went for a long swim. I was on the floor. It was flattened. Swim? Bittel Zman, Bittel Teire, you know, I'm Haredi. So I said, Bittel, whoa, I was horrified. Posh and horrified. He said, in order for me to start working to get ready for Rosh Hashanah, I need yeshuva das. I need to clear my mind. I've just come out of a Beinah Zmanim. You know, Beinah Zmanim is not an easy thing. And I can see that I wasn't relaxed enough to start thinking about what I want to do. So I went for a long swim and I relaxed and I chilled out. And then I came home and I was tired. I had an early night because I was in the sun a lot, whatever. Today I woke up and now I'm ready to start calm, relaxed, contemplative, to sit down and work out what I want to do. So I'm saying, he'd never swimming pool. You don't have a swimming pool. You can't go swimming. What are you going to do? Say, Oscar Hashem, I need a swimming pool. That's not a stira to simcha, to being misamach b'chelkoi. He was samach b'chelkoi, but he recognized that he needed certain things from the world in order to achieve better. Rav Gershon said it this week, you know, you, when you eat, so when you eat, you could be doing it as a mitzvah in order to serve Hashem better. So the eating is kula mitzvah, samach b'chelka beruchnias. When you're sleeping, the Rambam says it. 8 hours a night, you're being makayim a mitzvah if you go to bed for the right reason. So that's called resources. That's utilizing the resources you have in the world correctly. If you don't have them and Hashem says, no, you can't have a swimming pool, so you don't get upset, you don't get broken, you celebrate the fact that, oh, I didn't need a swimming pool, I thought I did, but I don't, fine. So I'll be samach b'chelka without a swimming pool. You see, that's where those two things, when you don't get it, that's when you have the problem. So now, if I don't have it, it means it's not good for me. That's what we'll discuss at length in the Sefer. What happens when you don't get it? When you get it, it's easy. You need a swimming pool, you dive into Hashem, the neighbor phones up and says, you know, we just got a new pool, would you like to use it? Oh, thank you, Hashem, you go have your swim. What happens if you can't find a pool? You find three pools and they're all busy and they're full and you can't find a swimming pool, whatever, and it's ready the third day of Elul and you're Pseder. So now you have to be Samach B'chelka. Hashem said, no. You know you could learn better with the air conditioner. So you dive into Hashem, you get an air conditioner, you switch on, it doesn't work. It's got a leak. So now for 3 days, you don't have an air conditioner. So now you become miserable, upset, angry. No, you're Samach B'chelka. Hashem said, no. You get it? But there's nothing wrong in wanting more things if you know why you want them. It's not the wanting, it's the why you want it. What are you going to use it for? And that means being very real with yourself. You know, not pretending that you're on a higher spiritual level than you are. You may need the steak just because that's what I need. You know, because yeah, I enjoy steak and I don't see why I should deprive myself of it if it's going to make me, you know, I could use that to raise my levels of simcha a little bit. That's where I'm holding. That means I should go out there and try every different restaurant and eat every steak and then talk about it for 3 days. No, my kesha. You don't have to talk about that steak for 3 days afterwards. You know, that's the whole discussion in the Beis Midrash is, you know, did you order the meat number 3 or the number 8? Yeah, I saw that once. I saw two guys. Oh, well, it's late already. In my yeshiva, I'm embarrassed to tell you, but the two Spitzias guys in the yeshiva way back when, you know, before we came to Aleph, the one they're sitting talking about the meat order. I was like, what are you doing? You want to eat a piece of meat? Eat a piece of meat. I'm an African. I can relate to eating meat. I don't have a problem with that. But for 15, 20 minutes to sit in the Beis Midrash or even outside the Beis Midrash discussing it and talking about it and this one and that meat and this meat and inner meat and those meat and oh, but this one really works in the cholent and this one. Oh, but this is good for, are you mad? You lost your mind completely. That guy can't ever work on Samach B'chelka in utilizing the Gash Mystica world properly. He doesn't only use the Gash Mystica world properly. Eat the meat. You need a good recipe. Find someone asking for a recipe. I don't mind. It's schmoozing and talking about it. The ganze Tog and some sugar. Anyway, we'll carry on tomorrow. It's a shame. But that's Shkoach Baruch. You raised a wonderful issue here, and that's what we have to deal with. And that's what we're going to be dealing with a lot as we go forward. Have a wonderful day, and Mitzvah Hashem, we'll meet tomorrow, 9:45. Yeah.